World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm going to be hacking in your ear all day. Those of you who are in the pre-show know I just told everybody I had a monster cold, picked up somewhere along the line. I mean, you sit in the tube with how many people were in that plane? 300. I mean, they were packed. 300 maybe. What are the odds of getting a cold in one of those tubes, you suppose, right? So I got one on the way down. In the 3 days we were there, I hacked and blah, blah, blah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And so if I got to stop and blow my nose, please bear with me today. Here's where we're fighting our way through it. And good to be back. Man, it's really great. Look, it's really good. We went down to the Hula Bowls, you know, and had a great time. And then, Spencer, I threw a picture up. I don't have all the pictures, but throw that one up there. We had some – not that one. There. There's some of the boys. There's Glenn and his son. There's Michelle and Joe Allen was there. And there's me. And we had Betty was there. And I'm forgetting some others who showed up down there. And we had a good time, man. Sun was shining. And it's all good football game. And, you know, I got to talk to Brett. Hey, Brett, need a program. I need a real announcer. Anyway, it's all good. And we're back home. And I swear I will never fly again. Well, why is that, Coach? Because, again, you sit in an airport. The plane is delayed. And you're at their mercy. Can you guys think of anything else that you do that it's not on, that it's 3 hours, 4 hours later than what you signed up for? And there's no consequences to it? Would you go to a doctor and sit there for 4 hours waiting for your doctor to come? Nobody would do that. That's why you have appointments. Well, we had an appointment to get on a plane to fly to Columbus, but wow, it was delayed. How long? 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours sitting in the freaking airport again. I swear, hey, Ray, I'm never flying again. Hold me to it, okay? Never flying again. Amen. Hey, got some news to take care of. I got some good stuff. Hang in there with us. Glenn, what's going on here, man? Come in here and tell us what's going on coming
okay.
up.
Okay, yes. This is for the Ohio Group. The Ohio Group house-to-house gathering will be this Saturday, okay, January 17th, 4 to 7 p.m., I put my contact number. You can text or email me. It's in the chat. Let me know if you're coming. Thank you. It's all right. It's up on the Liberty Action Network as well. For those that did send me their email, I will be emailing you the location later today. But text me if you're interested in going, and I'll email you back the location.
Amen. Hey, Glenn, there's just something about rich fellowship with the folks who are in the queue that really we don't get a chance to see very often. And look, if that happens to be you and you've just casually been listening to the thing, come on, man, this is salt of the earth people just getting together. And we would really, really love for you to, if I can say this, move beyond the traditional, just the traditional phony church. I'm sorry to say that, Ray. Huh? It is, right? And I can't think of anything, and I go, you know, over and over I say the same thing like a broken record. I can't think of anything, any meeting that you ever go to where you don't leave with a game plan, except church. The game plan in church is come to church on Sunday and pay your tithes. See you next week. Call me if I can help. And one of the things I'm most proud about, the focus of Pass the Salt Ministries, is we try to engage people, man. We try to engage. And I want you to know this, that my best friends in the world are people in the queue now. Not the same friends I used to have. Best friends I have are right in here. Because I know, number one, we share a common set of values. Yeah, we may differ a little bit on our theology. And by the way, if you leave because of your theology, there's something wrong with you. If you believe something that you can't defend, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to say that again. What? Oh, yeah. I like to sit around. I want to learn about stuff I don't know. Is the earth flat? I don't know, but I want to learn about it. I'm not afraid to learn about it. Are you? Right? And so, you know, whatever it would be, if you cling so tightly to your theology, man, missing it, man. We're missing it. Okay, where am I going to go here today? I already showed that picture, didn't I? Let me click on here a second. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I get rolling here? Because I'm gonna get rolling pretty good here. Amen. I'll give anybody a chance. Come on in. Yes, Vinny, come on in.
Did you hear that the CDC now admits that vaccines cause autism?
Vinny, is it unbelievable? There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Mm. Vaccines cause autism. We've known it, haven't we, Vinny? Haven't we known it? And who knows? Hey, folks, what else do you think maybe vaccines cause? And isn't it amazing the people who took the jab, you couldn't convince them of nothing, man. Huh? No, they're so brainwashed. They go out there and take that thing. But we now know that vaccines cause autism. Wow, how many lives is that destroyed? Thanks, Vinny. Ray LeBlanc, win, Ray.
Yeah, hey, Spencer, could you please bring that venue back up? The next one on the list after the local one was, he's coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's my neck of the woods. And I want to gather as many people as I can to attend that thing for you, Coach. And I have a venue. It's similar to what you have there at Sky High, a great retreat area in Clintonville that I have access to. And just to run it by you, I was going to do it offline, but if you got an extra day that you're going to be hanging around, I'd like to put together a retreat meeting with you guys as well, either Friday or the Sunday. I don't know if you're going to go see Pastor Matt Torella Sunday and spend the day with him there or what, but ponder that. And see if you can't work in something. I don't know. All right.
Sure. Folks, I don't know if you know this. Pastor Matt Torella wrote The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. It's been out probably maybe 15 years. I don't know how long. Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Lesser Magistrates, meaning we don't live by a king, right? Magistrates are people who are in position of authority. And there's always a lesser magistrate. In my family, I'm the magistrate, which is a, meaning what? I'm in control of my family, right? It all goes through me. But there's a magistrate above me. The magistrate above me could be, I mean, it could be my pastor if you live it that way. Magistrate above you could be your mayor, could be your governor. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate says this. And we got to quit waiting for the guys at the top to do what it is they're supposed to do. And those of us who are awake and alive, we have got to engage. We've got to engage. It's the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. And I would just say this, Ray, folks, anybody that's out there, this would be a great reunion. If I'm thinking of people live up there, kind of up in that area, come to it. Come and be part of it. I'm going to hack all the way through there. I'm sorry. And appreciate all you're doing there, Ray. Appreciate it all. Okay, man. Anybody else go to the group? Here's what I know. I got a lot of stuff here. I'm going to pull up for you real quickly here. Which one I want to go first with? Not that one. You know, here's what I know. Here's what I know again. That's what I know. Mark Harrington. I'm not asking for money. Relax. Mark Harrington at Created Equal told me, you know, I've been in ministry for 20. This is the 26th year I've been doing this. 26 years. And I'll never forget when I got started that Mark Harrington with Created Equal, he and I were, we met, and he's about abortion. And he told me, he says, Coach, here's the greatest problem you're gonna find when you're trying to do ministry, when you're trying to fund ministry. Relax, I'm not asking for money. He said, you're gonna find out that most people give their money to churches. Most Christians give their finances to the church. But the left gives money to causes. Have you guys seen how much money that girl who was shot, have you seen the millions of dollars that she has raised? Do we understand that much of our money is going into the church and never leaves the church. Somebody say amen for me. Somebody, they look at the budget, say, oh man, look at all this money we got. We can get new carpet. Oh, we can put a new blacktop driveway in. Oh, but right. It never leaves the church. Mark Harrington told me that. And I've seen that forever and ever. And we lose in the cultural war because why? Our enemy funds what they do in the culture. And we don't. We have to beg for the crumbs off of the table. I'm not asking for money, relax. But just think about what we see going on up in, well, look at what's in Ohio, right? We find we're the second worst with all this financial grift that's taking place. We're second worst. Minnesota is first, right? All this financial grift. And what are we finding out, Ray? Why, they're taking the money and they're giving it to the NGOs, the non-government organizations, and then they're doing riots with it. They're funding riots. I got a picture of a guy here. Where is it? Let's see if I can find it. Some guy getting paid $80,000 a year. Let me see it. One of these protesters. Which one is it? Excellent picks. Nice. I'll find it later. So that's what we're up against, friends. We don't fund a war. We don't fund a war. I want you to ask yourself this. At your church, what money do you put into activism? You ought to go to your pastor and say that. Hey, pastor, what activist ministries are we supporting? He won't even know what to say. Activists? Oh, we give to Africa. We give to our missionaries in Africa. Oh, really? How are things going in Africa? Huh? How about we do a little bit of stuff here? How about we fund some of these guys? How about we fund Mark Harrington, Created Equal? Excuse me, I'm gonna have Mark on later on this week. So I really think some of you, it doesn't have to be here. You need to redirect some of your giving and ask yourself a very simple question. Why are you giving there? Why are you giving to that old dead church that you've been sitting in for 30 years? Why are you giving to it? Think God's gonna bless you? Just is that what it is? You're getting blessed? By giving it there. Yeah, I'll move on. I promise I'll move on. That's really, really important. I don't know if you guys saw this. Spencer, pull up Trump tariffs. Did you guys see this? Play it, Spence.
Next year is projected to be the largest tax refund season ever. And we're going to be giving back refunds out of the tariffs because we've taken in literally trillions of dollars. And we're going to be given a nice dividend to the people, in addition to reducing debt. We, as you know, I inherited a lot of debt, but it's peanuts compared to the kind of numbers we're talking about. So we're going to be making a dividend to the people, and additionally, we're going to be able to reduce debt. And as time goes by, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, those numbers are going to go up. And I believe that at some point in the not-too-distant future, you won't even have income tax to pay, because the money we're taking in is so great, it's so enormous, that you're not going to have income tax to pay. Whether you get rid of it or just keep it around for fun or have it really low, much lower than it is now, but you won't be paying income tax next year.
You guys know this, right? At the end of the day, they use the income tax to control your behavior. You understand that, right? Tell me you understand that. And they can arrest you. They can keep you in line, whatever. You got to report every... Can somebody, if there's a separation between the church and state, Coach Dave Live Ministries, Coach Dave, Pass Salt Ministries, can somebody explain to me, if I'm the church, why I have to get the approval of the government? Can anybody explain that to me? I thought there was a separation between the church and the state. So if anybody ought to be reporting to anybody, this government ought to be reporting to the church. Would anybody agree with that? But see, it's all twisted. Okay, Spencer, I'm going to take you someplace. It's called Cynical Publius on X. See if you can pull that up there, man. See if you can pull this. That's not it. Although that's good. You say, Coach, what's one you talking about? Let me go back. Facts of life. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I thought this was pretty good this morning. So let me jump off. And then I want to hear from you. In case you didn't know, your shoes are the first thing people subconsciously notice about you. So wear nice shoes. Number two, if you sit for more than 11 hours a day, there's a 50% chance you'll die within the next 3 years. Three, There are at least six people in the world who look exactly like you. There's a 9% chance that you'll meet one of them in your lifetime. Sleeping without a pillow reduces back pain and keeps your spine stronger. Didn't know that. A person's height is determined by their father, and their weight is determined by their mother. So I can blame my mom for being short and stocky. Now, my dad made me short, but I guess my mom made me stocky. Huh? If a part of your body falls asleep, you can almost always wake it up by shaking your head. There are three things the human brain cannot resist noticing: food, attractive people, and danger. Number eight, right-handed people tend to chew food on their right side. Do you think about that? Yeah, where you guys chew your food? Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Putting dry tea bags in gym bags or smelly shoes will absorb the unpleasant odor. According to Albert Einstein, if honeybees were to disappear from the earth, humans would be dead in 4 years. Wow. There are so many kinds of apples that if you ate a new one every day, it would take you 20 years to try them all. You can survive without eating for weeks, but you will only live 11 days without sleeping. You know, it's kind of funny because I went to bed last night at 7 o'clock and went straight to sleep. I woke up this morning at 5. But something, rest is really important, isn't it? I mean, really, it's really, really important. People who laugh a lot are healthier than those who don't. Laziness and inactivity kills just as many people as smoking. A human brain has a capacity to store 5 times as much information as Wikipedia. Man, our brain uses the same amount of power as a 10-watt light bulb. Our body gives enough heat in 30 minutes to boil 1.5 liters of water. The ovum egg is the largest cell, and the sperm is the smallest cell. Did you know that? Ray, did you know that? That the egg is the largest cell and the sperm is the smallest. Wow. Stomach acid is strong enough to dissolve razor blades. Take a 10-30 minute walk every day, and while you walk, smile. It's the ultimate antidepressant. So take a walk, Michelle. There you go. Make sure you're smiling. Sit in silence for at least 10 minutes each day. When you wake up in the morning, pray to ask God's guidance for your purpose today. Eat more food that grows on trees and plants, and eat less food that is manufactured in plants. Excuse me. Drink green tea, plenty of water. Eat blueberries, broccoli, and almonds. Are you guys making note of this? Are you making note of this? Try to make at least 3 people smile each day. Don't waste your precious energy on gossip, energy vampires, issues of the past, negative thoughts, and things you cannot control. Instead, invest your energy into the positive present moment. Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a college kid with a maxed out credit card. So your biggest meal should be in the morning. Got that? Maybe I get rid of my belly. Life isn't fair, but it's still good. Life is too short to waste hating people. Forgive them and move on. Boom! Somebody give me a thumbs up on that one. Don't take yourself so seriously. No one else does. You don't have to win every argument. So sometimes just agree to disagree. Make peace with your past so it doesn't spoil the present. Don't compare your life to others. You have no idea what their journey is all about. Benny, that would be a boom right there, man. Huh? I don't know what any of you guys have been through. You don't know what I've been through. I don't know what Paul Gosselin's been through. I don't know what Glenn Claremont's been through. None of us know. Mm. None of us know what somebody else has done. Where am I? No one is in charge of your happiness except you. Frame every so-called disaster with these words. In 5 years, is this still going to matter? So if your car breaks down, you're going to be worried about it 5 years from now. Nah. Help the needy. Be generous. Be a giver, not a taker. What other people think of you is none of your business. That's a good one, isn't it? Oh boy. Excuse me. Time heals everything except grief. Grief is a sign of love. Wow, that is really deep, isn't it? Man. However good or bad a situation is, it will change. Your job won't take care of you when you're sick. Your friends will. So stay in touch with your friends. Envy is a waste of time. You already have all you need. Each night before you go to bed, pray to God and be thankful for what you accomplished today. What if you woke up this morning and only had what you thanked God for yesterday? Don't forget to thank God for everything. Remember that you are too blessed to be stressed. All right, there's a little cheerful stuff for you today, right there, huh? Stuff we worry about, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Quit living in the past. I got more, but I'm going to shut up. I guess somebody come on in. Somebody come on. I got some good stuff coming. I'm telling you. Come on in, somebody. Speak now or forever hold your peace. No? Okay. Silence. All right, here's another good one. Here's another good one. Where am I looking at? Six signs. Pull up number six, man. I'm not going to play this whole thing. I'm going to play a little bit of it, and then I want you to watch the rest of it. Number six, signs you carry a dangerous anointing. Spencer put it at 1.75 speed. It's long. It's like 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes. I'm going to play about 5 minutes of it, and then you watch it later on. It'll be an encouragement to you. Hey, I told my wife, you guys know how they put on your gravestone, they put here lies a blessed man or here lies whatever. And I told Michelle a long time ago, here's what I want on my gravestone. Here lies a dangerous man. Huh? Are you dangerous? Are you dangerous to evil? Are you dangerous? Go ahead and play this. 1.75.
Six signs you carry a dangerous anointing. You were set apart for a reason. If you've ever felt like you've been under attack your whole life, if you've ever looked around and wondered, why is everything so hard for me? If the storm started before you even understood the fight, you might be carrying something hell is terrified of. This message is not for the comfortable. This is for those who've been in spiritual ICU more times than they can count. This is for the ones who didn't ask for the fight, but couldn't escape it. This is for the anointed, but not just any anointing, a dangerous anointing. I'm not talking about titles. I'm not talking about microphones, pulpits, or public applause. I'm talking about an anointing that shifts the spiritual climate when you walk into a room. I'm talking about oil that cost you your childhood, your comfort, your friends, maybe even your sanity. Some people carry favor. Some people carry knowledge. But there are a few, a remnant, who carry fire. And fire doesn't make you popular. It makes you a target. When you carry a dangerous anointing, hell watches you. Demons recognize you. Religious spirits hate you. And people misunderstand you. But God? God trusts you, because he crushed you for a reason. In this message, I'm going to show you six signs that you don't just have a calling. You have an assignment so threatening to hell's agenda. You've been on Satan's radar since the womb. So if life has felt like war, if your tears have been your food, if you've been misunderstood, attacked, rejected, crushed, and still came back with a prayer in your mouth, listen closely. You don't just have oil. You're dangerous. Number one, you've been attacked since birth. Let's start where the warfare usually begins. At the beginning, some of you have no idea how anointed you are, but the devil knew it from the moment you were born. You didn't start the fight, but the fight found you early. Why? Because what you carry is a threat, and the enemy always attacks what he fears. Look at scripture. Moses was marked for death as a baby, because God knew he'd be the one to deliver a nation. So Pharaoh tried to wipe out every male child. Jesus was hunted as a toddler, because Herod sensed a new king had come. So he issued a decree to murder innocent babies. Hell has a pattern. And if your childhood was filled with trauma, instability, abandonment, abuse, or attack, don't just grieve it. Discern it. You were under surveillance before you could speak. You were born into a war zone, because your birth signaled a spiritual invasion. People saw a baby. Hell saw a warrior. Maybe your life has been one long fight. You've battled rejection, depression, addiction, or suicidal thoughts. Maybe you've survived things that should have destroyed you. That's not weakness. That's evidence. You were never ordinary. The warfare around your life is proof of the anointing on your life. Satan doesn't waste ammo. He doesn't attack those who are already his. He goes after those who are marked, those who are called to tear down his kingdom. So if you've been asking, why has my life always been under fire? It's because you were born carrying something that fire can't destroy. You were born for deliverance, for freedom, for territory taking, for spiritual damage in enemy territory. And Satan knows it. But here's the good news. If you're still here, still breathing, still pressing in, then hell failed. You survived what was sent to silence you. And that survival is your first sign. You don't just have an anointing, you have a dangerous one. Number two, you are drawn to holiness, even when it costs you everything. Here's something most people will never understand about you. You could have blended in. You could have chased the world. You could have numbed the calling with comfort, pleasure, or compromise. But something inside of you wouldn't let you. Even when it would have been easier to stay quiet, you chose truth. Even when it would have been simpler to stay hidden, you chose obedience. Even when it would have been safer to stay in the crowd, you stepped out, and it cost you. That's not religion. That's not legalism. That's the mark of someone set apart. When you carry a dangerous anointing, God doesn't just call you, he consecrates you. That means you feel pulled toward holiness, even when your flesh screams for compromise. You feel convicted when others feel casual. You can't laugh at what grieves the spirit. You can't indulge what used to satisfy. You can't sit in places where his presence isn't welcome, and people will misunderstand you. They'll say, you're too intense. You're too serious. You need to relax. God understands. But you know better. Because once you've been ruined by the presence of God, nothing else satisfies. You'd rather be lonely with him than surrounded without him. You'd rather be misunderstood by people than disqualified by disobedience. You'd rather lose the world than lose the fire. That's the cost of the oil. Look at scripture. Every dangerous anointing came with deep separation. Moses left Egypt's palace. Elijah lived in caves. John the Baptist wore camel hair and ate bugs. Paul walked away from power and prestige. Holiness always costs you something. But here's the secret. You don't regret it. Because in every sacrifice, you found more of him. And that's the cry of the dangerously anointed. Give me Jesus, even if it costs me everything. If you've ever walked away from relationships, platforms, pleasures, or plans, not because you had to, but because the Holy Spirit whispered, this isn't for you, then hear this. You're not weird. You're marked. That hunger for purity is heaven's fingerprint. That grief over sin is God's fire in your bones. That inability to settle for less is the evidence of oil. You're not being dramatic. You're being prepared. Because dangerous anointing can't rest in polluted vessels. And God is making you clean, not just for your sake, but for the people you're about to set free. Number three, you've been betrayed, often by those closest to you. Let's talk about the wound that hurts the most, betrayal. If you carry a dangerous anointing, you felt it, and not from enemies, from friends, family, spiritual leaders, people you trusted with your heart. Why? Because a high calling often comes with a deep cutting. Joseph's brothers didn't just mock him. They sold him. David wasn't hunted by a stranger. It was Saul, the king he honored. Jesus wasn't betrayed by Rome. It was Judas, a disciple he called friend. When you carry dangerous oil, betrayal is not a possibility. It's almost a guarantee, because the enemy knows he can't steal your anointing, so he tries to wound you through people until you abandon it yourself. And here's the trap. He doesn't just want to hurt you. He wants to harden you. He wants you to close your heart, shut down your spirit, build walls, and become spiritually numb. Because a bitter anointed person is no threat to hell. But listen closely. That betrayal didn't break you. It built you. That rejection didn't kill your calling. It clarified it. You had to be cut to learn how to heal. You had to be abandoned to learn how to depend. You had to walk alone so God could teach you how to hear his voice without the noise of crowds. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, they lied. Yes, they turned on you. But guess what? You're still here. Still standing. Still praying. Still dangerous. And now, you're wiser. You're more discerning. You don't trust just anyone. You don't let everyone have access to your spirit. You walk with the kind of holy caution that only comes from being burned and surviving it. The truth is, your betrayal was a blessing in disguise, because it taught you how to depend on God alone. So if you've been stabbed in the back, abandoned in your darkest hour, or misunderstood by the very ones you loved most, you're not cursed. You're not forgotten. You're chosen. And the pain you endured wasn't proof you were weak. It was proof that you're carrying something powerful enough to divide crowds, shake atmospheres, and stir demons. You've been betrayed, because you're dangerous. Number four, you can't blend in, even when you try. Let's be real. You've tried to be normal. You've tried to fit in. You've tried to downplay what you carry so people wouldn't get uncomfortable. But it never works. Because when you're dangerously anointed, you don't blend in. You stand out, whether you want to or not. You walk into a room, and the atmosphere shifts. Not because you're loud, but because what you carry is loud in the spirit. People feel something different about you, even if they can't explain it. Some are drawn to it. Some are intimidated by it. And others just flat out reject you because you remind them of a standard they've walked away from. That's not your ego. That's not your imagination. That's the oil. There is a heaviness to your presence that isn't about personality. It's about power. And listen, it's lonely. Because most people want comfortable Christianity. They want Jesus without the cross. They want blessings without holiness. They want revival without repentance. But not you. You carry something deeper, something weightier. And because of that, you can't do what everyone else does. You can't flirt with sin and feel okay. You can't binge trash and not feel convicted. You can't be lukewarm and sleep peacefully. That's not a burden. That's a sign. It means the Holy Spirit has claimed territory in you. And everywhere you go, he shines through you. Even when you don't say a word. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." That's not a compliment. That's a reality. You weren't built to hide. You weren't wired to blend. You were made to pierce darkness. Even when you dress like them, talk like them, walk like them, something about you marks you as different. You've probably been told, "You're too much. You make people uncomfortable. You're just being extra." But here's the truth. You don't carry ordinary oil. You carry something.
Anybody saying yes? Huh? Is that, you feel like that's you? Huh? Feel like that's you? Keep going. It's good.
That convicts the compromised, disrupts the religious, and awakens the desperate. You are spiritually allergic to sin. Your spirit starts to groan when things are off. And even when your flesh wants to settle, something deeper rises up and says, "I can't stay here." That's the anointing. It won't let you get comfortable and compromise, because you weren't born to survive this world. You were born to shake it. Number five, you see things others don't, spiritually and prophetically. Have you ever looked at a situation and felt something was wrong before anyone else said a word? Have you ever walked into a room, and your spirit was immediately stirred? Have you had dreams, visions, warnings, or burdens that made you question your sanity? If so, don't ignore it. That's not paranoia. That's not overthinking. That's a prophetic edge, and it's one of the clearest signs you carry a dangerous anointing. God doesn't give sight to impress. He gives it to protect. And when you're dangerously anointed, he gives you insight others don't have. You see the spiritual behind the natural. You hear what's not being said. You sense warfare before it manifests. Why? Because your assignment isn't just to walk through life. It's to war through it. Jeremiah said it like this. But his word was in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. In Jeremiah 29, that's you. You can't stay silent. You can't unsee what God showed you. You can't ignore the dreams, the stirrings, the burdens that wake you up at 3 a.m. It's not always glamorous. Sometimes you'll feel heavy when others feel happy. You'll grieve while others celebrate. You'll cry over things no one else even notices. That's the weight of the prophetic. And it's dangerous to hell because it exposes the enemy before he strikes. But here's the battle. You've probably felt like something's wrong with you. You've been told you're too sensitive, too deep, too spiritual. But don't let that shut you down. The devil's biggest goal is to make you doubt your discernment. Because if he can silence the seers, he can deceive the masses. But you're not crazy. You're not imagining things. You're not too much. You're seeing what others can't. You've been entrusted with heaven's lens. God shows you what he can't show everyone, because he knows you'll intercede, not just gossip. You'll warn, not just watch. You'll act, not just analyze. That's dangerous. So don't run from it. Don't hide it. Don't numb it. Own it. Because in these last days, God isn't looking for performers. He's looking for prophetic warriors, people who will see the darkness coming and sound the alarm before it's too late. And that's you. Number 6. You walk through intense fire, but come out with greater power. There's no shortcut to a dangerous anointing. If you've been praying, God use me, then prepare for him to crush you first. Because oil only flows from olives that have been pressed. Power only comes after the fire. And dangerous anointing is always born out of deep suffering. Look at scripture. Joseph was anointed in a robe, but his real power came after the pit, the prison, and the betrayal. David was anointed with oil, but didn't wear the crown until he ran for his life. Jesus was the Son of God, but still walked through Gethsemane, sweating blood before resurrection power came. If your life has felt like constant trial after trial, if you've walked through seasons so dark you thought you'd never come out, if you've been refined by fire, this is why. God wasn't punishing you. He was preparing you, because when you carry a dangerous anointing, you need a fire-tested foundation. God doesn't build warriors on soft ground. He builds them in the wilderness. And that fire? It didn't destroy you. It revealed you. It exposed the idols. It purified the motives. It burned away the ego. And it left behind something hell can't manipulate. Now, you're not moved by applause. You're not shaken by attack. You're not impressed by platforms. You've seen too much. You've lost too much. You've endured too much. You walk with scars and power. The kind of power that doesn't come from Bible college or Instagram followers. It comes from the secret place, the midnight tears. The quiet obedience when no one saw. The yes you gave God when everything in you wanted to run. The fire didn't destroy you. It anointed you. And now, you're dangerous. Not because of how loud you pray, but because of how deeply you trust. Not because of your position, but because of your posture. You've been through things others didn't survive. And you didn't just come out. You came out with a mantle. So stop asking, why me? Start declaring. For this, I was crushed. For this, I was made. For this, I was born. Conclusion. You're not just called. You're carrying fire. Let me say this plainly. You are not ordinary. You are not random. You are not surviving by luck. You've been marked. You've been set apart. You've been chosen. And not just to sit in a pew, not just to attend a service, not just to call yourself a Christian. You've been chosen to carry fire, the kind of fire that breaks chains, the kind of fire that casts out demons, the kind of fire that makes hell nervous when your feet hit the floor. And you know it. You've felt it your whole life. You've always known there was something different about you. You never fit in. You never could, because you weren't made to blend in. You were made to break barriers. Every attack was confirmation. Every betrayal was a sharpening. Every season of silence was a setup. Every fire was fuel. You carry a dangerous anointing. And that anointing is not for show. It's not for likes. It's not for stage lights. It's for war. You were anointed to destroy strongholds, to confront darkness, to heal the broken, to carry revival in your bones. This world doesn't need more passive believers. It needs warriors, prophets, intercessors, deliverers. And whether you feel ready or not, God sees you as one of them. So what now? You stop hiding. You stop downplaying your calling. You stop watering down the truth to make people comfortable. You stop apologizing for being set apart. You didn't survive all that hell for nothing. You are the answer to someone's bondage. You are the voice in someone's wilderness. You are the weapon in God's hand. The world doesn't need a quiet you. It needs the anointed you. It needs the fire-tested you. It needs the broken but obedient you. You may feel overlooked, but heaven has not forgotten your name. And hell? Hell knows exactly who you are. Because you don't just carry oil. You carry fire. And now, it's time to let it burn.
Wow, huh? Let me personalize this a minute, if I could.
But heaven has not forgotten your
name. You know, Ohio Brett, Hula Bull, went to the Hula Bull. Room 500, that had a banquet at the beginning. Brett allowed me to do the opening prayer, the Hula Bowl. I'm in there with these NFL Hall of Famers, Mike Singletary, Gruden. I mean, just they were all there, right? And it was hard. It's always hard. See, I wanted to be the next Woody Hayes 30 years ago. I thought I was good enough at it. I thought I knew what I was doing. I had good people skills. I thought I could do it. And then the ACLU comes out of nowhere, sues me for having prayer with our football team. So all the church desert me. All the church deserted me. And it's all crucifixion, basically, and destruction of everything at that point. I was 30. I don't know how old I was. Everything I built my life towards crumbled right in front of me. No Woody Hayes anymore. Ain't going to be no Woody Hayes. That's for sure. And then here we are. You traverse a little bit farther down the road, and here I am standing in front of 500 people the other night, opening in prayer. All these Hall of Famers sitting in there. There I was. See, Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And if you trust the Lord with all of your heart, and you lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. You are exactly right where you're supposed to be. Paul Gosselin, you are right where you're supposed to be. And you say, are you kidding me? Huh? Yeah, dude, you're right where you're supposed to be. If you believe that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, he delights in your way. Sometimes he needs human sacrifices. Sometimes he needs human sacrifices. And Paul, I think back to how, I don't know how long we've been together in here. You come in here and you were way out in front of everybody on the vaccine saying, don't do it, don't do it. And they tried to do everything they could to crush you. They tried to kill you. Whether you want to believe it or not, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord put you there. The Lord took you there. Why? Because he knew you wouldn't bend, you wouldn't bow, you wouldn't cower. And ultimately, when we all pass, we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, the Bible says, I don't know if the Bible says it, that there's a Rolodex. You stand before the Lord, and the Lord hits a Rolodex or whatever, a CD, whatever, of your life. Boom. It's going to play down before you. And you're going to watch that CD, and you're going to think, oh, daggone, I could have done this, and I could have done that, and I could have done that, and I could have done that, and I could have done this, and I could have done, and I didn't do that. And you'll see what some of the things you did that you did good. You did good. Pardon me, who knows? So I want to encourage you, man. Continue to live your life for the applause of two nail-scarred hands. Nothing else. Not riches, not fame. I stood in front of all those guys, 500 of them the other night, was able to represent my Lord. You guys understand that? That's a bigger honor than being in the Hula Bowl Hall of Fame.
Amen.
It is, man.
Amen.
So you take a step back and you turn into comeback. That's what it's all about. Steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. Paul, you mean to tell me the Lord all ordered you there to get shot? That doesn't seem possible, does it? But he did. Why? Well, that story's still to be written. But one of the things that's destroyed us is this name it, claim it, God only wants the best for you. Is there anybody out there who had something horrible happen to your life that you didn't grow from? At the end, you get a few years away from it, you look back and say, damn, if I hadn't gone through that, when I got sued by the ACLU, it made me freaking a warrior. What else can they do? What else can they do to me? Yes, sir. So I just wanted to share that with you, that take a step back and turn it into a comeback. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, ordered by man. So ordered means what? Ordered means you, like you order a pizza and you go there and you pick it up. And you order it, it means it's sequential. What time you pick up the pizza? 5:10. What time is it? 10 till. So it's ordered. 20 minutes, you go, everything is ordered. Steps of a right. Here's what I'm telling you. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, you are right where you're supposed to be. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? It's been the history of my life. I could have been coaching in that game, but I got to stand up before the whole crowd and represent my Lord and Savior. What an honor. Well, Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
In that our process of what we need to do in life, just like Betty handing out coins and praying with everybody there at the game.
Yep.
Ohio Brett doing the same thing. I was sitting there in front of four men there at the tent where we was eating at. And two of them, their sons were in the game there. So they were in that auditorium where you were speaking at. And I mentioned your name and their eyeballs got wide. They said, where is he at? I said, he's in Ohio. And then I told them the channel, you know, in the morning. And they talked about you for about 5-10 minutes. And couldn't believe it.
And Joseph, you know, it was amazing, folks. I'm not patting myself on the back, all right? After I did the opening prayer, and then they did some inductions into the Luna Bowl Hall of Fame, and one of them was Mike Singletary. I don't know if you guys know him, but our son-in-law's favorite Chicago Bear ever, Mike Singletary, gets inducted into the Luna Bowl Hall of Fame. You know what he said? It's amazing. He said, I didn't even know who that guy was, but boy, did he tell us the truth?
Yeah, and my boys came to me and said, Dad, you won't believe it. Miss Betty Perkins prayed for us. I said, that's right. I said, this is what the Salt and Light's about. Enough said.
Amen. Amen. It's great to meet you, boys, Joe. Honored you'd come. Amen. Amen. Dale, come on in, Dale. I left somebody else who was supposed to get in here. Come on back in. Come on back in, whoever it was. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, you know, I mean, that sounds like it was a blast. I would have loved to have been there, but I wouldn't have missed my service yesterday because it's one of those things I just want to say, you know, had you not made the decisions that you made, you wouldn't have been there doing what you did yesterday. You might have just remained a high school football coach, right? And been satisfied with it. So I remember telling you a couple years ago going to that school board meeting, right? What the heck do I got to go to a school board meeting, man? I'm a homeschool dad, right? And you know what happened to me yesterday, Coach, right? We had that debate about masks in there, and I and my family were the only ones in the whole doggone 300 people place that didn't have a mask on. And when my wife finished her little 5-minute tirade about the medical causes, I stood it up and I said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And I got up and left and the whole place erupted. You want to know what happened yesterday, Coach? I got a text at 9:30 in the morning. What time did your service start? I had a family come. Coach, 3 years later. And I was like, oh, how did y'all get invited to the church? They go, we were in the school board meeting when you stood up and said that in that school board meeting. And I said, well, that was 3 years ago. They go, yeah, we got your business card from you that day. Coach, these little things, I would have never met these people. Right. They would have never met me. And to realize, holy cow, what business do I, homeschool dad, have to be going to a school board meeting only to know that these people are seeking for a truthful church? And boy, did they enjoy yesterday.
Amen. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Coach Norm, Mike Singletary was impacted by the prayer. Huh? Who would have ever thought that I would ever be able to stand before Mike Singletary and all the great people in that room? Not great people, you know, we're jock sniffers. We make athletes great people, famous people. Maybe I should use that term. All those famous people. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Randy.
Coach, it's just proving to us Dale's testimony. I've got a bunch of those. God's network is working, Coach.
It is.
His network, his marketing scheme, it ain't a scheme. It's just truth. It's working, Coach. And when you see you're in it, boy, Coach, I can't wait to get up and be obedient again today.
Amen, brother. Huh? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I've told this story many times, and I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Anybody remember when Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier in Madison Square Garden? The first fight. And Joe Frazier beat Muhammad Ali, only to find out that Muhammad Ali broke his jaw in the second round. That Joe Frazier hit him so hard in the second round that Muhammad Ali broke his jaw. And nobody could figure out why Ali wasn't more aggressive. Can you imagine that? Meaning what, folks? Huh? A left hook in the second round, sometimes it takes the 15th round for it to show up. So our job is to punch. It's God's timing that brings the giant down. Amen. Anybody else? I'm going to shift gears here. Anybody else? I'm trying to encourage you here today, man. I'm trying to, look, Christianity, I don't know who told you it's a walk in the park. I don't know who told you that. Whoever told you Christianity is a walk in the park lied to you. If it's all about blessings and financial blessings, and it's all about it, that's what it's about. Somebody's lying to you, baby. They're lying to you. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, if you can notice, I'm wearing Craig Mickles' Refiner's Fire.
Amen.
Everyone in here that's got these stories like Dale just talked about and Randy and the rest of us, that Refiner's Fire is what elevated us to this point where we are no longer ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
And we'll stand out there boldly and proclaim it. And so that Refiner's Fire is necessary. It's purging us of all of the dross and making us usable and warriors. And like, if you didn't go through that episode with the ACLU, yep, that was your Refiner's Fire. Every one of us could probably look at a point in our life and say, yeah, I remember that day I went through that fire. Amen.
Excuse me. Amen, brother. Huh? Amen on that one. Amen. Come on in, Dale.
Coach, just a little testimony for you. I think it'll spark you and be excited. Bill Shanks pulled up in my house last week out of the blue, brought us a little king cake, whatever. And I begin to tell him about us going down to the river and fulfilling the prophecy of Dutch Sheets. And as I was finishing and saying, we stuck the sword in the ground and we reclaimed and renamed the river. You know what? He finished my sentence before I could finish and said, the river of the Holy Spirit. Coach, I haven't talked to Bill Shanks about this. You know why Bill knew? Because he was there with Dutch Sheets 40 years ago.
Oh, buddy, my goodness, huh?
Of all people, right? Bill Shanks.
Yeah, amen. 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 We've taught instant healing, instant deliverance, all that stuff. And the truth is, a lot of it's a process, is it not? It's a process. Let me share this. I want to go share this with you. Paul, listen closely to this. Maybe you can give me some advice. We were at the game on Saturday morning, getting ready to go into the game. And all of a sudden, I got the most unbelievable pain down through my hips, down through my legs, up in my back. And I said to Michelle, I got to sit down. I got to sit down. And I sat down on the curb. I sat down in mud, actually. It wasn't mud, but dirt. I sat on the curb. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't walk. Couldn't do anything. Finally, I had Michelle get me to my feet. And I got over to the steps to the rail and walked up the steps. I couldn't hardly get up the steps. Paul, it was unbelievable, man. And I went into the bathroom. I don't know why I thought I went in the bathroom. I went in the bathroom and I went and sat on the toilet because I didn't know what the heck to do. And I was sitting on that toilet, Paul, and all of a sudden, it was gone. And Paul, I wondered if, did I have a blood clot, Paul? Here's something crazy happened to me. I take these vitamins and stuff every day, and one of them got lodged in my sinuses. You guys know how sometimes that pill gets stuck up in there, and it went up into my sinus, and I got vertigo, and I was dizzy. Man, could that have caused it? Because Paul, I'm telling you, I thought I was taking a big trip, man. I never felt anything about it like that. What do you think, Paul?
I'm getting ready to go into the VA, but I'm curious. Where was the pain, Coach?
All down my legs. All down my legs, hips, legs. Nothing in the chest. Nothing like never felt like I was having a heart attack. But Paul, I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't make my legs go.
And wow, Coach. Blood clots don't necessarily hurt. In that manner, Coach. So it wasn't that.
Okay, good.
It definitely sounds like it's your lower back, though. Yeah.
Well, at least it's not a heart attack. I don't need to.
No, Coach.
I want you to know this. It was, without a doubt, whatever it was, the Lord touched me. That's all I know. Whatever it was, the Lord touched me. And I see Cairo adjustment. I get all that stuff. I'm telling you what I felt I had never felt before. And I thought maybe I was going to walk in that bathroom and never come. That's really what I thought. I didn't say it to my wife. But I went in there and I sat down and it's gone as fast as it came. So I don't know. Come on in, James. So the Lord delivered me. That's what I know. That's what I'm telling everybody. I don't care what the rest of you. Go ahead, James.
Hello. Hey, brother. What's happening? It's good to hear your testimony. You know, back in the day when you were doing your coaching thing, and you know, the Lord sent these times in our life for us now. back in that day, with that light momentary affliction that you went through, was conforming you to the image of
brother. It's just a workout, wasn't it? It was just a workout.
To the image of Messiah. We have to learn. As being in this kingdom that we are in, and you're in this process, the devil, he just can't come in and do what he wants, but he can throw symptoms and afflictions to you. And this is your little issue with your little attack. He throws you the symptoms to see if you will bite it. Most Christians bite it. They take it. Oh, I've got it. And when you take the bite, you know, or accept, Lord, I surrender this. I don't know where this is coming from. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. But anyway, you know, we all have a 19. I had to go through a liver transplant. I went through where I was dead. I was 6 months from seeing Messiah. If I hadn't got a liver transplant, I had to look at a 2-year-old son in a coffin to get me saved. So these little light momentary afflictions is not, Paul said, these things that we see is not compared to the glory we're going to receive from Messiah himself. Amen.
Amen. They're light and momentary, although they don't feel like they're light. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me throw this up. Go ahead, Glenn. Then I'll throw one more thing up there. Good to see you, Glenn. Thanks for bringing your boys.
Yeah, it was good. It was an opportunity to get together with my son who lives in Tampa. So, and to see you guys and meet Joe's sons. It was really good. See Betty. You know, when you talked about that, that's Psalm, the good steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It reminded me once again that story you told about Coach Bill, the guy that started Promise Keepers, and how you wanted to speak to him, and you were going to a meeting but yep. you got delayed by the traffic.
That's right. That's right.
but it turned out to be a positive rendezvous in the end.
I ran up the steps, had to pee. I ran up the steps and went into the bathroom, went against the urinal, and I'm peeing. And Bill McCartney comes right in beside me and is peeing right beside me. Yep. Amen. Amen. Steps of the righteous man ordered by the Lord. Hey, I'm gonna throw this at you real quickly. I want to change gears on you. I think it's important. Pull up for me number nine, Spencer. Number nine. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This verifies a lot of things. This verifies controlling the weather, all that kind of stuff. Did you know that when those guys went into Venezuela, they used a new weapon, a sound weapon that actually made, well, scroll down a little bit. It actually made the soldiers fall to the ground. Look, where is it? Capture, stop what you're doing, read this, blah, 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 blah. Venezuelan soldiers were reportedly brought to their knees, bleeding through their noses and vomiting blood, according to the eyewitness account from the Venezuelan guard and the dictator. At one point, they launched something. I don't know how to describe it, said one of the guys. It was like a very intense sound wave. I wonder if they can control the weather with those sound waves. What do you think, huh? Suddenly, I felt like my head was exploding from inside. In other words, the soldiers fell down, so they were able to just walk on in. Do you ever wonder how they were able to do that? Huh? He added that the result, his comrades were not able to fight. He said, we had no way to compete with their technology, with their weapons. And I swear, I've never seen anything like it. We couldn't even stand up after that sonic weapon or whatever it was. Huh? Oh, they can't manipulate the weather, huh? They can't manipulate the weather? I was often wondering how those guys, there's only 11 of them, right? How would 11 guys break into the White House and steal Donald Trump? Don't you wonder that? How'd they do that? That's what they did. And they have these, what? These waves, these sound waves. You read what it did to them. Have you seen this anywhere else? Seen it anywhere else? So they have technology beyond what we can even imagine that they have. By the way, put that in the chat, if you would, Spencer. I want you all to be able to take the time to be able to, I got so much more today, but it looks like I'm not going to get to it. Oh, Lord. Got 3 minutes. Somebody come and help me bring it home here. Come on in. Before you do, I want to say this publicly, how much I love my wife. I love my wife so much. And I told my wife's going to be 70. Sorry, honey. She's going to be 70 here on the 28th. And I told her again, after being down there in Florida and being on the beach, she's the prettiest 70-year-old I've ever seen. And how much I love her, what a support she is for me, and how much she gives of herself for others is unbelievable. And I just want to just acknowledge that, right? That we're a team. Shell and I are a team. And no matter how bad I screw up, she says, "You didn't, that's all right. You didn't," she's right there with me. So I just want to acknowledge that. Nobody else for the good of the group? Cool. See you tomorrow. But hang on. Silver's at $83, folks. It's going to the moon. It's not too late. It's not too late. Maybe $650 I saw the other day. It's not too late. See you tomorrow.